That was fantastic. I love coming back here because, you know, Vincent and the leadership team are very focused on the gospel and Jesus Christ and the message of hope. And, you know, it's really important that we never sway away from the basics, because Christ came to show us the way and to give us hope. And it's good to be here back with you. It was 2 years ago we was last here, and 2 years ago a lot of things have happened. We came and we shared with you the struggles that we were going through, how our funding was being taken away, and out of coming here and out of the plans we set in place, we began to rebuild. In the last 2 years, we've been rebuilding the Ministry of Teen Challenge, and we managed to extend. We had a couple of properties, and we amalgamated them and refinanced and brought the building behind Teen Challenge. And we've been working on that since last year, and we've produced more beds and more office space and added about 40% to the overall home in Ilford. And we're increasing the beds to 20 guys in total on the full program, including the phase four, and we're going to be running the whole program.
I'd like to ask Joe, the man of God over here, to come and share how God dramatically saved his life, brought him into Teen Challenge.
Well, it is great to be here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. My name is Joseph Shepherdson. I'm the son of the Good Shepherd. Not the son of the pastor of the Good Shepherd, but the son of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And you know, in Psalm 34 verse 8, it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." I want to share with you about, you know, my life, where I tasted rejection, I tasted bitterness, I tasted depression, I tasted anger, and I ended up in a psychiatric hospital for 5 years. But in 1999, after 5 years of in and out of a psychiatric hospital, through tasting every drug that you can name, for tasting every form of alcohol that you can drink, I ended up tasting Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I tell you, there's nothing better than tasting Jesus. There's nothing better. And you know, I want to share with you that I'm from Middlesbrough. So if you want to watch Middlesbrough today, we are praying that they will win. Hallelujah. And you know, I came from a family. I have five sisters and a brother. And you know, I lived in, you know, a council estate, very rough estate. My father was a very violent man. He used to, you know, hit my mother quite a lot. He was an alcoholic. He was a gambler. And, you know, I always wanted, you know, my father to love me. You know, on a night I'd asked him, you know, if he'd give us a kiss before I went to bed. But because, you know, he didn't, you know, I felt that he didn't love me. I felt rejected. And, this led me on a path of destruction. You know, where what I saw in my own life, in my home, I started to go to school and I started to fight at school. And by the time I was 12, I was taking drugs. And for the next, you know, 23 years, you know, I tasted every drug that you could name. You know, I became addicted to heroin and crack cocaine. But it was when, you know, in the year of 2000, I was in a psychiatric hospital and a lady came up to me and she shared with me about Jesus. And there was something about this lady, you know, that I wanted. And basically she said, you know, can I take you into the chapel? The only ever time I went to church was when I was in prison. The only ever time I read the Bible, I didn't even read it, but I used to use it to roll joints up or to roll cigarettes up when I was in prison. So I didn't know anything about God, you know. I didn't know anything about him. But this lady, she said, can I take you into the chapel? Can I pray for you? She got the priest to pray for me. And within 2 days, I came out of the psychiatric hospital and I've never been back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, I have something to shout about. I have something to shout about because I know where I've come from. I know that the devil had hold of my life. I know if it wasn't for the grace and mercy of God, I wouldn't be stood here now, that I would be dead or I would be in prison doing a life sentence. But I praise the Lord for what he has done in my life. And I, you know, I came onto the Teen Challenge program. I completed it in February 2002. From that, I went to Bible college in the year of 2006. God called me out to go to Kenya. I went to Kenya where I was having crusades and conferences. You know, I ended up, me and my wife, we set an orphanage up. I got married to a Kenyan girl. And you know, in Habakkuk 1 verse 5, it says, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your day that you would not believe, even if you were told. If someone had told me that I was going to Kenya, that I would be marrying a Kenyan girl, that I would be opening an orphanage, I'd have said, you're on more drugs than I've ever been. But that is the God of the impossible. Hallelujah. So I just want to share of the goodness, because I've tasted God, and I've tasted his goodness. Amen. And there's people here, if you've never tasted Jesus, I want to encourage you. He's the best thing. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me. And in November, you know, God called me and my wife to come back to England. And I've been working back with Teen Challenge for 2 weeks. And it is great to be back with Teen Challenge because of the ministry that they are doing. And I want to encourage you to support this ministry, to come onto the buses. I can see a few faces when I used to go on the bus 3 years ago. And I want to encourage you that there's nothing better than telling someone about Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a great hand clap. Praise the Lord. If you came in this service and you weren't awake this morning, I'm sure you are now. Hallelujah. Dave.
Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here to share what God's done in my life. I just want to prove God's grace and mercy. You know, as I grew up, when I was a small child, I was rejected from my mother and I was rejected from my father at a very, very young age. And I was sent off to live with another member of the family who ended up sexually abusing me. So I was rejected there as well. And when I say rejected, it was because every time I tried to come against what this person was doing to me, because I absolutely hated it. I was frightened to go to bed at night and stuff like that. When I used to try and come against it, I'd get rejected. And I couldn't handle rejection because I got it from my mother and I got it from my father. And as a very young child, I began to hate myself and wonder what life was all about, even as a small child. But I remember combating all these feelings. I'd become very violent outside of the home and that, and in schools and stuff like that. And I was very good at fighting, and that was my first high, fighting, because I used to enjoy hurting people. When I'd get into fights, I'd be like an uncontrollable person, and people used to have to drag me off of people. And I remember the first markings was, I remember this boy in the area I come from, in a little place called Summerstown, around the back of King's Cross where I grew up. And there was this boy who was a bit tasty on the streets, and I stuck a brick in his face. And the Lord reminded me of this morning as I was sitting here. And And you know, the thing is when I'd done this act to this boy, I really messed his face up. There was no feelings inside me. Nothing. I was empty. And in fact, I actually reveled in the glory of it all. And that I got a name and you know, I glorified in that because I hated myself. I loathed myself. I couldn't understand how anyone would want to know me or anything like that. So I noticed that I was getting attention in this way, you see. But do you know something? The one thing I'll never forget is that I was always frightened, so scared. There was so much fear in my life, and this fear would never go away. And God's really reminded me of a lot of stuff this morning. That's why I'm a bit jittery. But, you know, and then one day as a teenager, someone introduced me to drugs, and I took these drugs. I took these drugs. Drugs were my God. They numbed these feelings inside me. They numbed that emptiness. They just took away all my pain, my anxiety. Everything just left from me. And but the problem is, when the drugs wore off, everything just come flooding back, and it comes back doubly hard. And I just spent 20-odd years in drug addiction. And, you know, I experienced prison. I experienced the youth offending places. I experienced psychiatric hospitals. And in amongst all this mess of a person that I was, I actually become a father somewhere along the line. And I was in disastrous relationships. I had a son, and then eventually I had another two children from somewhere else. And there I was with all this mess inside me. Because there was this little boy inside me that was just... Every time... I remember my wife one day saying to me she wanted to leave me. And all of a sudden, all this rejection just came flooding back into my life. It was like that little boy that had never been dealt with. And, you know, and this just went on. My drug addiction was just, you know, I was sticking needles in my arm. I was taking every drug known to man. I was taking as much drugs as much time. And I was a full-time thief. You know, like good people like yourselves, I wouldn't think twice about nicking off of you because that's what I had to do to survive. And that was a full-time thing for me. And I absolutely hated myself because inside I knew there was another person, but I couldn't... There was a nice David there somewhere, but it just was never allowed to come out. Anyway, from that one night, I'm jumping now, I met a couple of Christian women who never gave up on me, and they started talking to me about a man called Jesus. I said, "Don't talk to me about your God. I'm not interested in your God." I was a typical person. I said, if there was a God, this wouldn't happen, that wouldn't happen. Now you've got to remember, my wife's rejecting me. My children won't even speak to me. I'm a drug addict. I'm a complete mess. My whole life was a mess. I wished I was never born from the beginning. And now someone's talking to me about God. And I said, look, I'm not interested. But, you know, deep down inside, I was a broken man. And I was intrigued in what they were saying. And I went to bed that night, and I just remembered them talking about Jesus. And that night, I wanted to kill myself. And I just called out to Jesus, this man that these women kept talking about. And with that, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. It just ran through my body. It went from my toes. This warm river just ran right up through my body, all over me. All this overwhelming peace just come all up upon me. And from that moment on, I knew I'd had a revelation from God. And that was in 2003. And ever since then, there was a battle going on. And in 2005, I came into Teen Challenge. And do you know something? I've been so blessed. God's just, he's just awesome. He's just so powerful. He's the Almighty. He's just everything in my life. I can't live without him. It's just not possible. And do you know, his grace and his mercy, all the things that I had done, and he's forgiven me. He's forgiven me for everything I've done, all the thoughts that I've had, the things that I've done to people. And do you know, on Friday, I was polishing my car, I was cleaning my motor, and I was polishing my car because, you know, you've got to look after God's gifts. And I was just thinking, genuinely, I was polishing my car and I was thanking the Lord for the car that he provided for me. And then I stopped to think about, it's 2008 now, and I came into Teen Challenge in 2005, and I thought, what did I have to give up to come to Teen Challenge? And I answered that, and I went, the answer to that was nothing. And look what God's given me. I had to give nothing up. I was broken. I was lost. I was empty. My children had lost a father. I was hurting. I didn't want to live. And I had to give nothing up. And I came into Teen Challenge, and God's just never stopped blessing me ever since. My children have got their dad back today. You know, I've got so much love for people today because of God's forgiveness. And it's just, and today God's brought me into the ministry. And I'm a staff member today, and it's just the beginning. And it's just a real pleasure to be able to share that with you this morning. Thank you very much.
Praise the Lord. Well, you see, those testimonies are not, we don't share those testimonies to glorify how bad, you know, these men are. They were wicked men, evil men. But God in his mercy stretched out his hand. When you call upon the name of the Lord, he will hear you and he will save you. And we give thanks to God. And you know, you're hearing testimonies today of people who were rejected and broken from an early age. And you see, not everyone that comes to God comes through that route. You may have had a good family. You may have been brought up in a very high standard family living, good morals. But I tell you something. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again to see the kingdom of heaven. We are born spiritually dead into this world, and we must encounter God so that we can be saved and go to heaven. That's not if you want to. That's a requirement from God. And the ministry of Teen Challenge is a very powerful ministry. We are a very frontline ministry. It's a very unique ministry. You know, the ministry covers nearly every continent on this world. It has nearly 89 countries that Teen Challenge operate in. We work in some of the most difficult places that you can imagine. And we're excited because over the last 2 years, we've been rebuilding this ministry. The devil came along, gave us some money to help us support the ministry, and then he came in through the back door and said, now you've got to remove Jesus. And God warned us, and we stood still and we said, no, we are not going to remove the Lord. We'll remove the money and we'll go and we'll rebuild the ministry. And all the ministry, it was like all our staff members had to leave. Everything changed. And those who stayed, including myself, we took a drop in our wages to stay and keep the ministry faithful to its original calling. We're a gospel-orientated ministry, and we will always remain that way. The reason Teen Challenge works is because we don't give hours of counseling. Men have to face the reality that they are accountable before God, and we pray, and there are powers of darkness that flee when we pray. I've experienced it. We've experienced it in the ministry. And you see, these men that you've testified, they came in with a lot of darkness. And Jesus began to set them free. And the ministry of Teen Challenge is like a hospital. But it's a very exciting ministry. Very difficult at times. We face many challenges. Over the 10 years that I've been involved in the ministry, from the beginning when there was only one or two churches, and this church is one of the principal churches that supported this ministry, we've had difficult roads that we've had to go along, but God is starting to change the ministry. We're starting to forge forward because we've not given up. And we give thanks to God because of his grace and mercy that has been upon us to go through those difficult times and to be able to sustain and hold out the word of life. And a couple of years ago, we had a ladies' home that we opened, but we had to close that. But I believe that God will open that women's home again here in London. We have the building. We praise God for that. But God's timing will be perfect. And we're rebuilding the ministry now, and we're in an exciting situation now. We was hoping to bring the new bus today, but unfortunately we couldn't pick it up on Friday. And we'll be picking it up on Monday, that's tomorrow. But it's a fabulous, fabulous vehicle. You could park next to 10 Downing Street, and it would be a credit to 10 Downing Street. I'm telling you. And we're saying a statement to the world that although we are Christians, we can do things in the highest level. And we're going to go into some of the most difficult areas. We're coming here again into Whitechapel. Within a few weeks, we'll be out again on the streets. We'll be coming here once a week. giving out food, giving out clothing, working again the streets that we worked for 10 years. And we're excited because also we're embarking on a new initiative that we're going to be starting. And we're working with Ryan and Vincent and the church here, but also the churches across this borough. We're going to be doing once a month in this building, we're going to be holding an outreach event for drug addicts, for prostitutes, for the homeless. We're going to share music. We're going to share testimonies. We're going to give free food. We're going to pray, and we're going to see people saved. There's a new initiative that's not being done around here. And it's going to be really exciting. Listen, we've only got a short time on this earth, friends. You can make a difference, or you can just be part of the crowd. But we're going to do something that's going to be really exciting. And we're going to see some real things happening. And you can be a part of that. You can come and see Ryan, and you can be a part of this. Really exciting. So that's what's going to be happening here. The bus is going to be going out. We're going to have once a month outreach on a Sunday evening. And you can bring friends along. You're going to hear powerful testimonies. It's not going to be cringy. It's going to be very outward looking, really exciting. And we're going to see God at work. Because that's what God wants us to do, to hold out the word of life. Because there are so many people who are broken in darkness who need Christ. And we have the message of hope. So it's really good to be here. I'm going to invite Matthew just to share for the last 5 minutes.
Thanks, Javier. Well, if we can just stand up together, can we, in the presence of the Lord? And we can just say together, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And again, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And again, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Please be seated. Hallelujah. If you have your Bible with me, you can turn to the book of Revelation. And that's the 12th chapter. That's Revelation, the 12th chapter. If you're open the Bible at the middle, turn right and fly all the way to the end. If you hit the book of Concordance, you've gone a bit too far and want to come back a little. Just going to share a short word today, but I do know that this is what God's laid on my heart. If governments could get hold of this, nations can get hold of this, then the answer would be found. And the reality is, friends, governments haven't, simply because they're always promising new things. They're always bringing something new, but none of them have found the answer to life. None of them have found that. And we can see here in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, going from verse 10, the Bible is a prophetic book and it talks in prophecy of the future and is speaking of the end times. And here in Revelation 10, we see the end of the world and what God is saying. It says this, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night and has been cast down." Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that the devil will be cast down. And in Revelation 20 also tells us that he will be thrown into a lake of fire. That's what is going to happen to the devil, friends. So the next time the devil reminds you of your past, why don't you stand up and remind him of his future? Because that's where he's going, friends. Verse 11, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." Hallelujah. The message today is simply this. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. Because we see that in Scripture, that the blood of Jesus is the only blood that is called precious. Hallelujah. Turn with me, please, to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. We heard today that they overcome them by the power of their testimony. We've heard testimonies. You know, the devil can take a lot of things, but he can't take what God's done for you. You know that? What God does in our lives, that's our testimony. And each of us have a testimony here. Just recently, went with Javier to Cape Verde, and it was an incredible visit. We went there, God led us there. And I tell you, it's all Jesus, it's all God. Because what ended up happening out there, it was absolutely amazing. With regards to some building work, we're going to, starting in November, be building 72 luxury townhouses out there. And so if you want to invest into the kingdom, then you can order a brochure over the next coming months and, have a look at a townhouse. Why not? They're absolutely amazing. It's not us who've done this. God has led us there. And we're trusting all the way. At our church recently, they talked about Mission 193. That's taking the gospel to 193 nations. And Cape Verde was on the list, and I missed it completely. But my wife, she picked up on it and said, hey, you're going to Cape Verde, why not take, part of the mission is to take a couple of Portuguese Bibles and see who God leads you to. And it's incredible. The first man that God led us to with one of these Portuguese Bibles was an affluent businessman, a guy who was involved in the sale of the land to us, by the name of Carlos. And, you know, affluent, well-known businessman. Everywhere he went, around the island with him, everyone knew him. Even the mayor of the island knew Carlos. And we presented him with a Bible. And he said he'd been searching for a Bible, and it was amazing that he'd been given it, and that he was going to take it into his home and read it. And we were really blessed by that. We said to the church on the day that we went there, if you know of any outreach, any evangelism opportunities, we'd love to join you on that. And the church going to a prison, a Cape Verdean prison, every Wednesday. They said, why don't you come along? So I went along with the other Bible. And in that prison, in Portuguese hymns were being sung. Now, I didn't have a clue, to be honest. I just know God's presence was in the place. And all the prisoners came in, 17 in all. And one guy came up to me, and while they were singing these Portuguese hymns, he said, I have been praying every day for a Bible. Every day I pray to God for a Bible. Do you know where I can get one? I said, that's amazing. I've got one left. We've got it over here, and God wants you to have it. God answers our prayers. Amen? It may not be as quick as we want, but in God's time, that's the perfect time. And so no matter whether we are a affluent Cape Verde businessman or a Cape Verde prisoner, Jesus Christ wants to set you free. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter about our background. One day the Queen will stand before Jesus. The Bible says at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. One day President Bush will stand before Jesus. One day the poor of the streets, those who can't even feed themselves, hunting for food out of bins, will stand before Jesus. The Bible says all of us one day will stand before God and give an account. And on that day, what's going to save you? What's going to save you on that day? I remember asking the questions myself. I came into Teen Challenge on October the 23rd, 2003. And that was the day I experienced being washed in the blood of Christ and experienced a cleansing of my life, the past gone, a beginning of a new start in life. I experienced that day being washed in the blood of Jesus. Have you had that experience here today? Can you say that? Whatever background we're from, can we say that our lives are free, that we've accepted what Jesus did on the cross? He was nailed there 2,000 years ago. The witnesses, the men, the women stood around that cross and they watched as every drip went from his hands. Every drip went from his side, from his feet. And each drip spoke of forgiveness. Each drip spoke of love. Each drip spoke of freedom. That Jesus Christ will set you free. And on October the 23rd, 2003, Jesus, it was almost like he said for Matthew, but it is finished. It is done. His new life has begun. When he hung there 2,000 years ago and he said to the world, Father, it is finished. Because sin was dealt with. Death was dealt with once and for all through Christ Jesus. Not through Muhammad. Not through Buddha. All these men, founders of religions, they did not die for you. Only Jesus Christ, the risen Lamb of God, died on the cross for you to save you from your sins. And through his perfect, pure blood, you can be born again and find that hope and peace in God. Hallelujah. Then you too have a testimony like the guys here. And we can also testify what God has done in our life. My lovely, gorgeous wife is here today. Hallelujah. What a miracle. What a blessing. At one time, my life was a mess, and I was a mess, but God has given me a new start and given me a new life. So we overcome God not by attending church every week for 12 months, not by lifting our hands. We don't overcome by become a Christian by doing things. The only way we can come to Christ is through the blood of Jesus and accepting he died on the cross for us. And therefore good works, but the Bible says that our good works are like filthy rags to God. You know, we can do as many good things as we want, but unless we're washed in the blood of Jesus, unless we find new life in Christ, then they mean nothing. Then as God starts to take over, we want to do the good things. We want to make things right. But it's born of the Spirit of God, born of God himself. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The Bible is made up of two parts, the Old Testament, the New Testament. At one time in the Old Testament, they used to sacrifice animals, goats, calves, in one day, they sacrificed 22,000 oxen, 120,000 sheep for the sins of the people. Because the Bible says, without any forgiveness of sin, there is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. And yet these animals weren't enough. The sins of the people were too many. And so one day, John the Baptist was baptizing people. Jesus approached and he says, Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. For God so loved the world, he gave his Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And so with all these oxen and all these calves and goats and bulls, you know, that were not enough because the sins were too many. God sent his Son, the Holy Lamb of God, who was without sin. And he was nailed there on the cross. For you and for me. Hallelujah. The greatest need of man today is not happiness. The television tells us that. The radio tells us that. Happiness. Yeah, this will make you happy. That will make you happy. The greatest need today, friends, is forgiveness. Is forgiveness. We need to come to God through the power of the blood of Jesus for forgiveness. I don't know whether you remember, I'm just going to finish on this. Is the Yellow Pages brought out an advert one time and a few years ago. And this advert was a guy, he had a wild party. His parents were away and he had this lovely coffee table, mahogany coffee table. And at the end of the morning, he sort of woke up and they all woke up bleary-eyed. And he looked around and there was a great big groove carved into this coffee table. And, you know, he had a shock horror here. And, of course, he picks up the Yellow Pages and he finds the guy who comes along and makes this coffee table look amazing. But, you know, when I remember that advert and I thought of what kind of that speaks to us is that in life we create grooves. We create scratches. It could be scratches of addiction, scratches of pain in our lives. And you know, under the Old Testament, we're talking about the blood of goats and sheep. You know, that was like an atonement, a covering. It was like getting a tablecloth, putting it over the table, so that when God looked down, he didn't see it, but the reality was, it was still there. But when Jesus came, he came to bring a new covenant of his blood. And that when Jesus went to the cross and shed his blood and we put our faith in Christ, that we believe he'll give us a new life and forgive us our sins. You know, it's like the guy who comes along and he polishes the table and the groove and the scratch goes away. God wants to take our sins away. Will you let him? That's the question. Will you let him? You say, Matthew, I'm not sure. I don't understand. I don't understand all this. I'm not even sure if there is a God. I'm not even sure about it. But the Bible says a man is to die once and then judgment. And instead of picking up the yellow pages, hallelujah, in life, we can pick up God's word. And we can find the truth in God's word. Can we just bow our heads, please, in prayer? Hallelujah. I remember when I sat in front of a psychiatrist and I expressed, what is life all about? Why am I here? Where am I going? What are all these human beings running around with all emotions and feelings? What is this all about? Who made us? Did anyone make us? Where did we come from? And I had all these questions in my mind. And the psychiatrist said to me, Matthew, what do you think the answer is? And I didn't know the answer. That's why I was sitting there asking all the questions. But you see, the world today, the governments today, they try to get us to think. They're looking for, in our own minds, the answers. But the answer, friend, is red. The answer, the solution to the problem is red. And it's the blood of Jesus Christ washing over your life. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that washed me clean and made me whole and new again. And what Jesus did was when he walked around, he said, hey Nicodemus, follow me. And he called people's names. Hey, the fisherman, James, John, leave your nets, leave everything. Follow me. Love not your lives until death. Follow me. And in the same way as Jesus said that, I believe he wants to say that to you this morning. Simply this, follow me. Repent and believe the good news. Repent and believe the good news. Give your life to Jesus. Don't delay. Don't delay. Give your life to Jesus. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today you can make sure your name is written in heaven. Give your life to Jesus. And while all our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe one time you walked with God, things were going well, and over the recent months and years, you felt yourself backsliding. Give your life back to Jesus today. Maybe you've never done that before, never committed your life to Christ. You can do that this morning as we're here. While all heads are bowed, before God, see, when Jesus called people, he called people publicly, not privately. And no one's looking around. But if that's you, if you want to give your life to Jesus anew, give him your life afresh today. Ask for forgiveness today. Just lift your hand and put it down. I'd love to pray with you at the end. I'd just like to lead us all in a prayer. Maybe you wish you had risen your hand, but you didn't. And just follow this prayer, please. We'll all pray it together for God to come into our lives. Let's pray together. Father God, I come to you today. I ask, Lord, for forgiveness. I ask, Lord, that you wash me in your blood. Cleanse me from the past. Heal my soul. Give me a new life. Jesus, I invite you in now. Come into my heart. Lead me on from this day forward. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.